have to do with racism. I made a mistake. Evidently, I didn't change the scripture reading from a previous reading. Should have been Acts 17, 23 through 31. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, "To the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things, and he has made from one blood," that's the key scripture, "every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring." That's important also. "Therefore, since we are the offspring of God," Jew and Greek, because he's speaking to Greeks here, "therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." There it is. I did have it up there. How about that? Just had it in the wrong place. This is from an article. The idea here is from an article by Eric Lyons. He works with Apologetics Press. And I know Eric. I've been present at some of his presentations that he and Kyle Butt have done as they were filming some of those presentations. I know Kyle also, his parents went to School of Preaching, Bear Valley School of Preaching that I went to. And so I know both of those men were present while they were recording some of their videos. But this is an article by Eric. And so I'm going to use his introduction and his conclusion. But everything in between, I've added scriptures and different things too, because he wasn't preaching a sermon, he was writing an article. But I thought it was very good, and I thought it was something that would be beneficial to us. So the introduction is his words here. "Atheism has no rational basis upon which to call anything objectively just or unjust, including racism. If mankind is merely the result of billions of years of mindless evolution and is nothing more than animals, as atheist evolution contends," Marchant 2008 said, "then man can logically make evolutionary-based racist remarks that are consistent with a godless general theory of evolution." Now, Eric and Kyle Butt, Eric Lyon and Kyle Butt, have a lot to do with teaching about evolution and the problems with evolution. And so he's looking at racism in his introduction and conclusion from the evolutionary standpoint. And he's saying that according to evolution, nothing wrong with racism because it's the survival of the fittest. In fact, Charles Darwin's bulldog atheist, Thomas Huxley, did just that in his 1865 essay. "Emancipation, black and white," he alleged, for example, "no rational man cognizant of the facts believes that the average Negro is the equal, still less superior, of the white man." And so that's what evolution basically teaches. And it's a lot of evolution is based on the survival of the fittest. And what he's saying is, no way black man's equal with white man. That's evolution. In truth, if there is no God, mankind could just as easily look down upon and mistreat others whom he deems are less evolved as he does roaches, rats, and orangutans. And that's from Eric and Kyle Butt's lesson. Those who are Christians, however, logically contend that since God exists and the Bible is the Word of God, racism is morally wrong and completely ridiculous for the following five reasons. So we're going to be looking at five reasons. These are based on five reasons that Eric gives, but with addition of scriptures that I will add to those. First of all, atheism is ridiculous because all human beings are made in the image of God. That means black man, white man, blondes, brunettes, redheads, doesn't make any difference. We're all made in the image of God. So racism is ridiculous. If we're all made in the image of God, then we're all basically like God. Genesis 1:26-27, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Doesn't anywhere say there that let man have dominion over other men. It says over all the other creation. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so we're all made in the image of God. We all have different characteristics, and one is not neither right nor wrong. And, of course, some of you blondes remember the blonde jokes, and some people resented very deeply those blonde jokes, and so then they came out with brunette jokes and redhead jokes and all sorts of jokes. But none of that is true. There's no basis for blondes being more stupid. You know, there's nothing genetically about having blonde hair that's going to cause you to be less smart than someone else. Or the color of your skin has nothing to do with how smart you are, how intelligent you are. We are God's offspring, Acts 17 that we looked at, 28 and 29, for in him we live and move and have our being. For as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. I'll take a sidelight here. I've been criticized in the past by some people because I quoted poetry. And so I always point out, so did Paul. It's good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. These were not Christians, these were pagan people who said something that was true. And so he quoted them. So we can quote all sorts of things as long as they're true. And we could even use poems, as Paul did. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. So we are the offspring of God. We are made in the image of God. We are made in the similitude or likeness of God, according to James 3, verses 8 through 9. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. Any man who has been made in the similitude of God. And so we've made in the likeness, the image of God. And so all mankind is included in that. And I have been in religious groups, not the Church of Christ, who have said the black man has no soul. And I have heard them say that the only reason God made the black man was to keep the fires of hell going. Ridiculous statements in view of the fact that we're all made in the image of God. And we're not to have dominion over each other, but over all other creation. All human beings of every color and ethnicity bear the image of the divine God. And so anytime God has dealt with not intermarrying, for example, it always had to do with ethnicity and the foreign gods that were involved in those marriages. Never does the scripture talk about black and white. Nowhere is black and white ever even indicated there's a difference in us or in any other ethnicity. And notice, ethnicity is quite different than race. Race is a man-made term that is designed to divide us because you're different than I am. So we need to talk about similarities. Some of you may remember once I had Ronnie Campbell come up here and stand beside me, and I said, tell me some of the ways we are different. And you know, almost everyone was reluctant to say, he's black and I'm white. They said other things. I was taller than he was. I had red hair. He had black hair. All sorts of things. But it's like we were afraid to say, he's black and you're white. But that's simply a characteristic of humans. We have different colors of skin. And by the way, I'm not white. I'm kind of pink, and especially when I'm embarrassed. So maybe the, who were those people on Star Trek that called us pink skins? The white people were pink skins. So, you know, it's just a characteristic of mankind that we differ in shades of color. But never does God say one is any better than the other. He makes no distinction between us based on the color of our skin. Okay, second, God only made one race, and that's the human race. And we've alluded to this already. We are all descendants of Adam and Eve. Now, I've seen people say Adam and Eve were black. Others say, no, they were white. Some say they were brown. I don't think anybody can tell me what color Adam and Eve were. I don't think there's anything. Polaroids weren't available back then, and I don't think we got a picture of them anywhere. Now, we do have some pictures of Jesus. I'm not quite sure where those came from, but when we see a picture that somebody says, that's Jesus, everybody says, yeah, that's Jesus. I recognize him. We don't have any idea what Jesus looked like. We know that he wasn't a white-skinned, blue-eyed Caucasian. He was Jewish. And so different ideas about what even Jesus looked like. But we don't know what Adam and Eve, what color they were. We do know that they had the genetic makeup within them for their descendants to have all varying ranges of colors. And so we see that. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. So we can all say Adam and Eve are our great, 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 ever how many greats you can put in front of that, grandparents. So we all have the same ancestors. And we can go even further than that. We're the descendants of Mr. and Mrs. Noah. In Genesis 8, 15 through 17, then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. And so we're all descendants of Noah and his wife. And so evidently within Noah and his wife were the genetics to produce all different colors and degrees and shades of colors of mankind that we see today. We can, because of seeing where the descendants of Noah, the three sons of Noah, went, we can see where some of that genetics came from. And some of that had to do with the area of the country they lived in. And we're not sure what all may have been within the genes to produce more dark skin. We know that people who live around the equator, dark-skinned people live better there. I couldn't live around the equator. If I did, I'd have to be totally covered up because I'd be so sunburned, I wouldn't be pink, I'd be red. And so dark-skinned people survive better. So dark-skinned, the darker the skin, the more they survive. And slowly, over time, microevolution took place. Now, there's a big difference between microevolution and macroevolution. Micro is small. We're all human beings. We have changes that have developed over time because of where we may have lived. One of the best illustrations I heard of this was the pygmies live in the bushland. That's the little people. They lived in the bushland because they could run under the bush when the lion was after them. But the taller you were, the more difficult it was to run under that bush, and so you got caught. And so the little people bred because they survived the lions, and they had short people. They bore shorter people. That's microevolution. That's small changes within species. That's what Darwin based his whole concept of evolution on, was microevolution, the changes in a bird, because some of them had longer bills than others. And he said, that's proof of evolution. That's proof that we came from monkeys. Doesn't prove anything of that kind. It means that there are small changes within species. And that's all that's ever been proved, that there are small changes within species. God said each one would reproduce after its own kind. And so you're not going to see, as they've looked for that missing link, somewhere where they saw one species turn into another species. It's not there. All we can see is small changes within species. So the pygmies live in the bushland. The Watusis. Remember the Watusis? 7 foot tall. You know where they lived? In the grasslands. Guess what? They were so tall, they could see the lion moving through the grass. But the little pygmies couldn't. And so guess who survived? The tall people who could see the lion moving through. Now, that's obviously an exaggeration, but it's basically what can happen with microevolution, small changes within species. And so the tall people lived and reproduced, and they produced taller people. And so that's the point. We're all from Noah and his family. Now we know that Japheth went to what is called Europe. We know that from Exodus and Genesis and all of those statements that talk about where those sons and their descendants went. So they went to what is Europe, and they were basically the white-skinned people. The Shem went to Asia and that area, and Israel and that area that's over in there, the Middle East. And they were what was called the Mongoloid, and we use that as a term for Mongoloid children, Down syndrome, because they have the characteristics of Asiatic people. But they were the three different main groups of people originally, from what we see in the descendants of Noah, was Shem, the Semitic people, Japheth, the white people of Europe, and Ham, his descendants settled in Africa. And so that's the darker skinned people. And now we have all varying degrees of that, because rightly so, there's nothing in the Bible that says anything about something wrong with marrying between ethnicities. The Bible talks about intermarrying with the nations that had foreign gods, but never anything about skin color. Skin color never entered into who you could marry and who you couldn't marry. Now, many people interpret it that way, but it's a false interpretation. We're all descendants of, by the way, those dark-skinned people at one time were called Negroid. That was the name. Caucasoid, Mongoloid, and Negroid were those basic, what we used to call three races. And again, that's a misnomer. That's something that mankind is made to cause us to divide and go according to our people. Now, you remember the Tower of Babel. That's when God changed the languages of people. Guess what? When that happened, people started grouping together. If you can imagine that happened, they're building this big tower, and all of a sudden, you can't understand the guy next to you, what they're saying, because God confused their languages. So all of a sudden now, you're looking for people that speak your language so you can communicate with them. And you go and kind of separate yourself from the others because you can understand their language. And there's where much of the division happened, because you understand people. Believe it or not, I grew up in the South, but I went to Colorado, and from Colorado I went back to Mississippi, and I was preaching there, and I had a man who was an elder in the church that told me, "You've been up north too long. You don't talk like Southerners do." Now, he didn't mean by that my accent. He meant my ideas were different than what they were used to. And so he felt like I had been up north too long. You ever notice the difference between the north and the south? It wasn't just because of the Civil War. It's because they talk different up there. Let me give you an example of it. Boy, time's running away. We might have to make this into two sermons. Who knows? We stayed in Massachusetts with a lady in her house. We were sitting with her eating, and she said, "My daughter gave me a commode for Christmas." "What?" "My daughter gave me a commode for Christmas." And I said, "What did you do with it?" She said, "I put it in the living room under my window." "What?" Now, a commode to me is what she called a toilet. But to her, it wasn't a toilet. To her, it was a nice little table with a glass bowl on it with a pitcher under the bottom. It put water, and you poured in, and you would wash your hands in that bowl. That, to her, was a commode. But I had never heard that before in my life. They speak a different language up there than we do down here. And there are a lot of examples like that. And we tend to put ours where they don't belong, like washcloth. Had somebody kidding me about that once. He was talking about how I talked, and I said, "Well, what do you call this?" And I held up a washcloth. And he said, "It's a washcloth." And I said, "Where is the R in wash?" And so, up north, they leave that R off, and we put it down places down here where it don't belong. And so it's just a different language. And so sometimes we divide ourselves because, well, they talk different than we do, one way or the other. But that's beside the point. Let me see how much time we got left here. I may have to make this into two for sure. We are all from one blood, Acts 17:26. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. He has made of one blood. Do you know there have been people who have refused a blood transfusion because it came from a black person? Same blood. That's what God said. It's the same blood. Now, we have different types of blood, But black people have the same types of blood that white people have. We are from one blood. There is only one human race. And we need to understand that. We are all of one race, the human race, although we come in different colors, shapes, and sizes. All humans, all Homo sapiens, all nations are related through Adam and Eve and Noah and his wife. And so we are all alike. We are of the one race, the human race. And I suggest that we get away from, and it's difficult for us because we hear it so much. I suggest we get biblical and stop talking about race. And just talk about, yeah, there are different types of people. Different shades, different types of hair, different colors of hair. They're different. But they're all humans. And if we understand that and we start talking that way, then I think it'll help us to get away from much of the division that is caused by the terminology of race. Race has divided us. God never divided us according to colors of skin or types of hair, colors of hair, or whatever the case might be. And it's so important for us to understand that. I spent a lot of time on introduction, spent a lot of time on other things I hadn't intended to say, but maybe they were important. And so we're going to divide this, and next week we'll talk some more about racism is ridiculous and look at some of the reasons that it's true. God wants us to all be one. Jesus' prayer was that we might all be one so that the world might believe. It's a shame that we have black and white churches. It shouldn't be. Now, I can understand why some people who are black would not want to worship in a white congregation. It may be because of styles of worship. Monticello, Arkansas, we had a black man and his family were converted. They were only white, only black people in that white congregation. And they had been there for a few years, and they had tried to evangelize other blacks and just couldn't get them to come to that white church. And I'm good friends with this man still today. And he got up one day and he said, "I'm going to appeal to you, brethren, to help me to start another congregation of the church here. Because I have tried to get my black friends and neighbors to come, and they will not come." And he said, "We just sang this song." And he said, "I want you to hear how I wanted to sing that song." Now, sometimes we have different worship styles. One is not neither right nor wrong. But that congregation, by the time I moved there, was almost the same congregation, size congregation as the white congregation was. And so souls were reached because of that. Do you realize there were predominantly Gentile congregations in the New Testament? Not condemned for being that way. It may be that Gentile churches were able to reach Gentiles better for whatever reason. But it's a shame that we have to be divided. Because God wants us to be all one. We are all of the same human race. We are made in the image of God. And He doesn't want us to be divided by anything other than what God we worship. And if we worship the same God, then we should be able to be united. And that's true within the Church of Christ, as well as it is with the denominational world. God wants us to be one, so that the world might believe. Can you imagine the impact we could have in America if everyone that claimed to be Christian was united? And we had one congregation here in Alexandria of all the people who believe in Christ, believe in God, and the influence that we could have. That's what Jesus prayed for, that they may be one so that the world might believe. Our divisions, even in the area of what some people call race, has interfered with our growth in that way. And we need to get away from using that terminology that divides us and start talking about things that unite us. Remember, I talked about Ronnie Campbell standing up here with me. After I said, how are we different? I said, how are we alike? And there could be no end to the list of the ways we were alike, but there were only a few things that we differed in. The obvious one, everyone was afraid to say, well, he's black and you're white. That should not matter. And neither should any other thing. The color of my hair, the color of his hair, whether I'm short or tall, he's taller, I'm taller, it doesn't matter. I'm a preacher, he's not. He's a teenager, I'm an old man. None of those things matter to God. And we need to make it not matter to us. And we need to be united like Jesus wants us to be. He wants everyone to be a child of God. He went to that cross so that we could have forgiveness of our sins and life eternal with him in heaven, all together in one place, all believers, all who have been baptized into Christ for remission of our sin, be in heaven together. Won't that be wonderful? You think there are going to be any divisions in heaven? No. And there shouldn't be here on this earth either. We need to all be one. And if you are baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, you can be a part of that number. If you're a Christian and you've lived a Christian life, you've recognized when you committed sin, you repented of that sin and confessed it, then you can be forgiven of that and you can be with God in heaven for eternity. If we can help you to be assured of your home in heaven, at this time, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.